In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? You get your vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There's some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. Gals, I'm feeling a little worse for wear today. Our democracy is a little worse for wear today. How are you feeling on this day?
I mean, yeah, yesterday was kind of, it was not the best day for news. We've got very slushy environment here in New York City, and I feel like I feel slushy as a result.
I will say yesterday was rough for me because...
You don't exist. It's amazing you're here.
Yeah. My Instagram got disabled. That has not been great for me. There's fake Instagram accounts that are like harassed me and they've been up for months. There's one that has been up for 2 years, a fake one that used my headshot, but like they have no motive. They just made a fake one. The one that was made a few months ago was bad. But anyway, my Instagram is down. But today, I discovered yesterday and today, if you put some matcha powder into your smoothies, it's really good.
And Rose and a Thorn, you've been kicked off Instagram, mm-hmm. and a bunch of troll accounts of you have been allowed to remain on Instagram, mm-hmm. Thorn, but Rose, matcha powder.
Matcha powder in berry smoothies.
In the smoothie.
Yeah.
Well, the fake account that's especially disturbing, like, has your full name and the headshot that you use on your email. So whenever you come into our outlines now, I'm like, oh, the fake Millie's here, but it's actually really you.
that headshot from like 2016 where I was straight blonde hair. I need to change that and update that. But also, yeah, like, it's just, I don't understand making fake accounts.
You weren't told, like, this is what you posted that got you
banned. Oh, they didn't tell me anything.
Banned.
No.
Like, that's nope. so, that's very
And I didn't post
true.
Anything especially salacious.
No.
I think it's because before my Instagram name was Millie on Fire with a 4, and then I changed it to my actual name, and because there's fake accounts on my name, like, so it's just,
I think you're probably right.
It's so crazy to me that you are getting, the real you is getting punished in favor of fake Millies, and all of this is to say,
go report the fake Millies.
We're doing internal things, but go report fake Millies.
Yeah,
that
if you see. If you see them.
If you see any fake Millies, and if any of you guys work at Instagram, maybe reactivate Millies.
Sort it out.
Instagram, verify me. Verify me.
Yeah, maybe
please.
You could verify Millie and
well, then this wouldn't happen. Then this wouldn't happen because if
well,
your account
exactly.
was like known to be you and then somebody like reported it because they wanted to be. Yeah, I'm sure the name change. Anyway, we hope for a swift resolution there.
Yes.
Definitely report the fake account because that might help trigger something. But yesterday was a huge day in political news. Ahead of the first anniversary of the Biden administration today, happy first anniversary. Biden administration, 1 year
anniversary.
Since
Wow. It's been 1 year since Let's Get Loud.
Let's get exactly.
That's exactly what I said in the newsletter. I was like, I'll remember. I brought
loud.
It up multiple times.
So much
One year since J-Lo put Let's Get Loud in the national anthem, where I think it should always be. So he gave a really big press conference last night, nearly 2 hours. I mean, he just kept remarking on how long he had been there. He focused on the future of, like, which is kind of how, that's what every grandpa does, right? Like, wow, it's really getting late. What am I still doing here? Who's going to drive me home?
It's like, babe, you scheduled this. We could have broken this up if you wanted to do like, we didn't have to do 2 hours.
They were saying afterwards that, like, his staff was like, you need to be up there for a very long time. That's, like, kind of the point. And so he sort of kept saying, like, they keep making me stay up here. I'm ready to go. Like, he really was. Wow. Grandpa has to answer a lot of questions. He focused on the future of his domestic agenda, the state of the pandemic, inflation, the situation with voting rights, and the potential Russian invasion of Ukraine. It was a fine press conference. He seemed to acknowledge that packaging so many of his campaign promises into Build Back Better was not working, and it was giving the American people the impression that Democrats aren't doing anything. Mm. He said the package would need to be split up into big chunks. I don't know. I just don't like that choice of words. I wonder if the speechwriter wrote big chunks. Well, but said, I won't focus on that. But he said he wasn't sure he could get some of his top priorities done, such as the permanent child tax credit or free community college. So it was I found it to have a little bit of a defeatist tone. It was really like a post-mortem, which seems like something you do. Here's what it felt to me like: a Mark Maron interview with Joe Biden rather than a press conference for the American people. He was kind of loose. He literally, the big headline was that he was like, well, if Russia, depends how much invading Russia does, then we'll decide.
That was bad.
It just sort of sounded more like a loose podcast interview of him just sort of like off the cuff thinking out loud. But it seemed cathartic for him.
Well, that's what matters.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed like he did have a lot to get off his chest. It must be hard to, you know, hear a lot and not get to defend yourself. you know, I do think it's an interesting strategy to, instead of breaking it up and doing, like, because he doesn't do a lot of press conferences, no, is a thing with Joe Biden. And I do think it's interesting to have him, just knowing him, as we have known him for many years, have him go for 2 hours instead of breaking things up.
Yeah.
Because he is a little bit of a gaffe machine. That's one of his sometimes endearing, sometimes not qualities. Yeah. So I just question why it was like, instead of having him do one, I mean, obviously he needed to do a commemorative press conference today, but instead of just having him do more frequent small press conferences where he can be on his game, we did one long 2-hour press conferences where he was alternately on his game and alternately maybe said we would let Russia invade Ukraine.
Right, right. He's a sprinter. Which isn't, he's not what he a meant, long distance but... runner.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, apparently, like, you know, the State Department and he, they literally have like a menu. They're like, if it's this much incursion, we do this. And everybody knows that's like sort of how it works, but you don't say that. So obviously Ukraine was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I just was like, oh, this poor Ukraine, between our old president saying they weren't going to get military aid to protect them from Russia, to this administration saying, hey, I mean, you can hurt them just a little bit and you'll probably be able to defend yourself from
us. Well, I was reading, and I just got to say, like, something that made me a little comforting or something was reading the New York Times newsletter and reading that Blinken was involved in like the strategy. Mm-hmm. So it's just like the people that President Trump like ostracized and impeached Trump the first time because that was all about the Ukraine issue, mm-hmm, are like now advising Biden. And I was like, in that sense, it's a turnaround. I just feel like it's just a little sad that it's so defeatist when like there is stuff that Biden can do. Like, unfortunately, like he could use an executive order more and all that stuff, but he's just like, you know, he doesn't want to like undervalue the Senate and the Congress, but it's like, they're not doing anything, dude. Like,
yeah, it's like they don't value themselves.
Yeah,
right. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't listen. Like, if they don't love themselves, like, mm-hmm, how are they going to love anybody else? Right?
Yeah, that's so, a
like,
Justin Bieber song.
that's RuPaul's sign off on Drag Race. If you don't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else? And that's kind of how I feel about the Senate. It's also pretty hard for him to go out and give some kind of good press conference when two people in his own party voted down the filibuster changing the filibuster that day. Like, he doesn't have his party behind him to give triumphant press conferences the way that even Donald Trump, mm-hmm, had his party behind him to pass some kind of thing, whether it be like his tax credits or whatever, or some other bullshit that mostly they only pass his tax credits, but like they would time some kind of action with a press conference like this because they're strategic and like thought through like that.
And they were good at making the executive orders feel like a joint effort. Like Trump did a lot of executive orders that then almost seemed like, to the casual kind of news consumer, like partisan victories, like congressional victories, just because his party was supporting them. Like the party supports tons of executive actions to try to do some of the things. I mean, I think Caitlin said yesterday what Obama used to say. Caitlin quoted Obama saying, get caught trying. Like, try.
Yes, I always think about that.
Try going nuts with executive orders and have the whole party hype you up and, like, see what happens. Let's go.
Yeah, I just feel like it came on the heels. Like, you know, he had to do it when he did it because it's the 1 year anniversary. The 1 year anniversary is when it is. Yeah. But it's like not a great time right now.
Yeah. Like if this was like the State of the Union dress rehearsal, we have some work to do. We need a punch up.
Yeah. The actual timing was pretty unfortunate given what went on in the Senate literally the same day.
Yes, which we can talk about now. I mean, we'll just touch on this briefly because, as I've said, we've had this conversation so many times and now we maybe don't have to have it as much anymore. But Republicans, as expected yesterday, filibustered the voting rights bills. Then an attempt to change the filibuster back to a talking filibuster failed when Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema voted against it. This proposed rules change would have allowed for the talking filibuster on the legislation, so that would have forced Republicans in this scenario to come to the Senate floor and speak in opposition for as long as they could. And once those speeches ended or they couldn't talk anymore, the Senate would be able to hold a simple majority vote for final passage. Sounds incredibly reasonable to me, especially when you talk about voting rights.
But and especially when you talk about tradition, because that's what it used to fucking be.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting here being like, we have to uphold tradition, the new thing that you're doing isn't the tradition.
No.
You could go back to the y'all know how I feel.
Well, we've been like, all we've been asking for is precedented times. This changing the filibuster is a precedented time. We change the filibuster all the fucking time. But Manchin Sinema again repeated that this would only deepen divisions and lead to policy swinging wildly back and forth. But again, voting rights isn't fucking policy. Like, Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted last night, like, yes, the filibuster is in the things, but the right to vote is more sacred than this weird ass rule. Like, a lot of us aren't doing it. I would do it casually, but they're saying we're not doing this casually, but we're talking about the right to vote. We're not talking about the minimum wage. I'm open to having, we all love that. We're having that conversation, but we're talking about the right to vote. This isn't a policy change. And especially for this legislation, like, make those motherfuckers talk for days about why they won't support this legislation.
And make them look stupid.
And then that's on record. That's on record. Yeah. And then I dare the next generation to say, oh, those Republicans were right and Democrats made a power grab. Not going to happen with this.
Yeah, and I mean, just the swiftness with which the Republicans will get rid of the filibuster as soon as they needed to do their
shit. They're not going to do talking filibuster. Hell no. Oh,
no, not even. The swiftness with which they will get rid of it, it will boggle our, like whiplash around the country from
literally
how fast
the
they
fastest,
do that.
We've never seen Mitch McConnell move that fast.
I can't believe it's just like crazy to me that Sinema and Manchin are assuming any good faith when these motherfuckers pushed Amy Coney Barrett like the day after Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. So it's like, of course they're going to do that. So I just don't understand. Like, it really boggles my mind. And it's just like, Sinema especially, I'm like, they have to have like been blackmailing her or something. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I don't know what her deal is.
There has to be something, because it's like, there's no way that you really believe that they're in good faith. Any critical thinking person knows that they're not.
Yeah. I said it in the newsletter, but like, they owe the filibuster money. Like, I don't know what the deal is. Like,
yeah, their arguments make no sense other than like something or someone is
something personal. Yeah.
I'm sure you've swiped past lots of custom beauty brands over the years. Customize this and personalize that, all promising to fix my hair and skin insecurities. It's easy to be skeptical, but when Pros says custom, they actually mean it. Your formula literally could not exist without you. Since I started using Pros, I've noticed consistently healthy hair, even with all I put it through with heat tools and hairsprays to get this pompadour sky high. It smells great, looks fancy on the shelf, and it has my name right on it. Each and every bottle of Pros custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique brand of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation Foundation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. Pros covers everything from your concerns to diet, exercise, and stress levels to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin health. Next, they'll recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were only produced after I placed my order. Nothing is pre-mixed. Nothing is off the shelf. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, Pros proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering our listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. They're giving you 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/feverdream. That's PROSE.com/feverdream for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. pros.com/feverdream. Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. And like I told you guys before, I got my wedding bands on Etsy. I was able to meet with a creative, independent artist. They took my vision into reality, and now my wife and I have custom wedding bands that we absolutely love. A gifting moment is always just around the corner, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you. Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Today we have a Republican You Not segment, and this time we're zooming in on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Ugh. According to a story in the Associated Press yesterday, a new Florida bill aims to prohibit public schools and private businesses from making white people feel, quote, discomfort or guilt when when schools teach students or train employees about discrimination in the nation's past. I'm going to read a portion directly from the bill. It says, an individual by virtue of his or her race or sex does not bear responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. An individual should not be made to feel discomfort, guilt, or anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of his or her race.
I mean, and this from the fit party that's like, facts don't care about your feelings, people. Right. Like, these are like, but you can't make anyone feel anguish or psychological distress.
Right. Democrats obviously uniformly opposed the bill, pointing out that it would lead to frivolous lawsuits. And it's interesting because I thought Republicans were like the party of avoiding frivolous lawsuits and protecting businesses from those. Obviously not. And they asked Republicans to point to explicit examples of businesses explicitly telling white people they were racist or responsible for America's past because they were white. They did not receive a response. And the bill's sponsor, Republican State Senator Manny Diaz, said the idea isn't to ignore the dark parts of American history, but to ensure that people are not portrayed as inherently oppressed or blamed for sins of the past. And when asked for comment, a DeSantis spokesperson referenced the Florida governor's belief in Martin Luther King's plea not to judge others by the color of their skin.
No.
Ooh, tomato.
No. Blah. Like, I just reject everything about that.
I mean, obviously, it's so ridiculous, so stupid. Ron DeSantis isn't fucking governor to me. Like, the margin by which he won, that amount of people have died already from coronavirus. Yeah. So that's like how I'm thinking about this. Another thing is like, this is again the culture war that Republicans are all rallying behind from critical race theory, that one elective class that some law schools teach that, you know, yeah. And it's just like, and the whole point of them teaching that is like, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is a case study of critical race theory and how the law works differently for white people. But it's just
ban
like,
that from television.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope of like, then what? We can't talk about, you know, like violence against women because men will get uncomfortable. We can't talk about, and it's just like, life is uncomfortable. We're never going to. I mean, that's the point, right? Republicans don't want to change. They want to go back. They literally want to regress to when black people can't vote or have to count jelly beans to vote. That's what they're trying to do. But it's also like, yeah, like, we're never going to grow and progress if we don't acknowledge the difficult truths of the past and, like, have conversations about it and learn and grow. But, like, these people don't want to grow. They want to change history. States' rights was Civil War, Confederate flag on all this shit. You know, Blue Lives Matter until I take over the Capitol. Like, crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I agree 100%. And I also, I wanted to highlight, because I saw these tweets from Nicole Hannah Jones, the author of the 1619 Project. And she tweeted, I'm just going to read it, but to test how race neutral the DeSantis bill and others like it are, Black, Latino, and Indigenous parents should flood these states with lawsuits about lessons that make their children feel discomfort, or that one race is superior to another, and see how it goes. The bill prohibits lessons that make kids feel discomfort, guilt, or anguish, or any other form of psychological distress or on account of his or her race. I imagine lessons that glorify enslavers and colonizers and downplay the contributions of POC would do just that. So sure, okay. And I think that is like, we have to do that.
The bill seems like a self-own. Like, if it is actually implemented and executed correctly,
they say, then it's like, okay. I imagine that actually the kids who are being made to feel very uncomfortable in most classes are the kids of color.
And this means that when teachers comment on a Black kid's hair or something, that's a lawsuit.
Oh, well, they fucking make kids cut off their dreads. Braids are banned from schools, all this shit. I'd
call that anguish and psychological distress.
Oh, for sure. Today I saw in response this assignment for a fourth grader, and it's a screenshot, and it's like, I guess they're trying to teach fourth graders how to write persuasive essays, but they're like, write a letter in support of, if you're a settler, in support of Andrew Jackson, write a thing about how the Trail of Tears was okay. You know, that's what the assignment was. And that's that's shit that I remember. And this is again, this is what I talk about with friends all the time. You know, when I first moved to New York from Florida, they put things New York and these big cities, they're not a place for kids. They're not a place for children. The suburbs are better. And then I'm just thinking now, I'm okay, so if I do have children, I'm going to move them to a suburb and they're going to not be able to learn about slavery, but my rent will be kind of cheaper. Fuck that.
That's so true. That's, we should start incorporating that into the trend, into the TikTok trend.
I also do think it's funny that it applies to public. It applies only to public schools, which does, it kind of, it implies that you could have a private school that made white students uncomfortable, which I don't think is good, but I don't think that you should have an anti-white public private school, but there are businesses, it is just funny to me.
It is very funny. The fact that there are businesses, it's like, of course this isn't, of course they don't have any examples. There are just Subway managers going around you're white, you're bad. This is not happening. But yeah, absolutely. If this goes through and passes, the people that are going to be able to benefit from the most are kids from BIPOC communities, because the most of the books are that Republicans hope don't change are filled with in dehumanizing Texas stories and narratives. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
So today we're going to bring up kind of a on a related note, we're going to bring up the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City on purpose. Damn. Sometimes we bring it up on accident. Today we're doing it on purpose.
It ties into a lot.
Yeah. Our cousin podcast mentioned it all. That Dylan host who runs Bravo by Betches, they also talked about this yesterday with the person who runs Bravo Historian and got into it a bit. So the franchise's newest cast member, Jenny Wen, provided... I thought she provided such a breath of fresh air this season.
Me too.
She was kind of a bright spot. I mean, Real Housewives, the first season of Salt Lake City was amazing, and the second has not been as strong. The characters have not been as strong, but she was wonderful, and she had an amazing family, with the exception of her husband. Anyway, she's a Vietnamese American, and she described on the show fleeing Vietnam with her family. She said on a boat when she was 7. She spent time in a Thai refugee camp before a Christian organization from the U.S. sponsored her family's immigration. On this season of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Jenny has confronted another cast member, Mary Cosby, about racist comments Mary made about Jenny's and Asian people's eyes. Also, Mary's made tons of racist statements this season. It's very bad. We should also talk about that, too.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it's, we're going to get into, like, the stuff Jenny did is, like, really, really fucking bad. But Mary M. Cosby.
Yes.
Because I, like Jen Shah, like to use her entire name. Mary M. Cosby is not a great person.
No.
And this just speaks to, like, how did these women even get on the show? So, obviously, given that Jenny was such a beloved character, it was very disappointing yesterday when old social media posts, not that old, actually.
No.
A year and a half old.
Social media posts surfaced that included anti-Black Lives Matter sentiments, propaganda, Islamophobia, pro-Trump, anti-vax statements, and more. They refer to BLM thugs. One post doubted George Floyd was killed as a result of police brutality.
Oh, yeah.
Another shows
overdose.
A woman bragging. Yeah, another. These are all posted on App Bravo by Betches. Another shows a cartoon woman bragging about how many rioters she's hit with her car. Another shared memes insulting the Obamas from a pro-Trump Facebook page. She shared posts questioning the legitimacy of the election and another bizarre meme suggesting that Democrats sexually assault fish. So this is like as far as we go into crazy.
Yeah.
This is as far as you go.
Can I call out my favorite Jenny Nguyen post? My favorite is one that she posted. It's like the most pixelated uncle meme that you could put. Like, this has been just screenshotted so many times. Mm-hmm. And it's of Colin Kaepernick kneeling. Mm-hmm. And then Linus from the Peanuts gang is telling Colin Kaepernick that... I mean, it's like hate speech, what Linus is saying, so I'm honestly not going to get into it, but I was just like, why is Linus saying this? Linus is a little boy. Why is he talking to Colin Kaepernick? What does Colin Kaepernick have to do with Linus? Why are they together?
There's not a real clear crossover between the NFL and the Peanuts catalog.
And Linus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, Linus is just
a major character.
I think these memes just like to like make sure, like they just want to make sure every single like beloved pop like character is clearly turned against Democrats in some way. No. And it's worth noting that she shared most of these posts over 6 months in 2020. So it wasn't, you know, this would not be excusable by any means, but it's not like it was like June 2020 at the height of the protest when there was a lot of dissension among people. And there was, like I said, it wouldn't matter if it was just that month, but this was like, she kept going. She kept going. She stuck to this narrative for 6 months into 2020. And yesterday she posted an apology for the statements. She said that the post had been deleted, and at the time she thought she was speaking out against violence, but has since learned how offensive and hurtful her words were. She said, quote, "It's why I deactivated the account more than a year ago, and why I continue to try to learn about perspectives different from my own. I regret those posts, and I'm sincerely sorry for the pain they caused." To the extent that it's noteworthy, the bit about deactivating that account seems to be false because it was still up yesterday.
Yeah. Dylan was on the page yesterday.
Yeah, they blocked it yesterday.
Like, what? That's what's so crazy. And also, even if it was true, being like, I knew my Facebook was incredibly racist, so I deleted it.
I got cast on the show.
Yeah.
And realized this would look bad and tried to get rid of it.
Yeah, I deleted my hundreds of racist posts. It's like that doesn't address the root of the problem, which is that you posted like regularly insane, like absolutely bottom of the barrel, like real racist hate stuff. Less than like a year ago, like these posts are not old enough to be vaccinated. It's too much.
Well, also too, it's just funny because this was Bravo's attempt to diversify their like cast members. And
it's Utah.
It's still Utah, but it does like speak to like anti-blackness amongst other communities of color, which is a huge issue. And it's also like Elise and I were saying in the Betches Sup group chat that we really should charge people to read. there is a trend with Vietnamese, Cuban, Venezuelan, people who come from communist countries into this country, you know, tend to trend Republican. And I know Elise has a lot to say about that. But yeah, it's just, it's disappointing. And I think that the conversation on Black Twitter was kind of like, I knew that there, you know, people were like, I always could tell that there was like an ire and anger towards Mary that was like, even before Mary said those insensitive comments, you could tell that she like particularly was so bothered by Mary. And like, yeah, I don't know like how to speak to that or anything, because of course what Mary said was wrong. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you can sometimes tell that. I'm like, it's hard to say if she would have had a problem with Mary no matter what. And I'm also like, how is she going to do other events with the Real Housewives of Atlanta or Real Housewives of Potomac?
No.
You know, with those views. So it's going to be really interesting. I don't know.
I think that's the thing. I mean, I think this is something that you don't come back from. I think she has to be fired. And I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about why that is. Because, you know, we try to leave room for redemption. And we talk a lot about how why that's important. But, you know, like we said, like this wasn't like 12 years ago or 10 years ago. This is like in the current context of the like racial and social justice conversations we're still having today. She made herself very, very clear. So she has to get fired. But it's like, I'm mad at Bravo for not catching these things and letting us fall for this new character. Mm-hmm. And also it's like, Mary sucks too. And I don't think it, how come every time, like they try to diversify and then this happens? Like, why are they not checking closely enough to not put, you know, like Mary sucks, but like still it's not fair to put her in that position with somebody who has such hateful views towards the Black community.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing is like, Jenny does have to go. I do, you know, again, we talk on the show, like, is there room for someone to who has had these racist views to have redemption? Absolutely. But does she have to lose her lucrative TV show because she posted insanely anti-Black stuff? Yeah, yes. She does. Mm. And she also, by root of that TV show, has access not only to a Black woman, but to Black children, you know, like Mary Cosby has kids. Jen Shaw has kids. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need someone who is like literally hateful towards Black people in this way around Black children.
The other thing is, like, you know, Lisa Barlow knew about this, the one that brought her in and just like didn't care.
Of course.
Like, it was on the Facebook. Like,
well,
Lisa always knows.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like Jen Shaw's like extended family lives with her too, and like I'm like, has Jen? I think Jen should fight her before she goes to jail.
Yeah, I do think since Jen is already going to jail, maybe we can have that fight Jenny down.
And you know Jen will. Like the whole like theory about Real Housewives is that they all talk about the storyline, but they don't tell Jen. So they just get Jen mad at everything. And I don't know if that's true, but I'm like, if I do see a season three, I'm like, well, I would like to see her like be in this mandated therapy set. Cause like Jenny, like if they don't fire her, which I'm not sure they're gonna fire her, but if they don't, then I would like, that would be an interesting thing of like the entire season will be about you figuring out your racist shit.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be interesting. The another thing too is that it really exposed every time, like, I don't know, I'm very shocked that a lot of chiropractors are anti-vax, which is apparently very common. So that was like a whole other thing. And another thing.
Is her husband a chiropractor?
Yeah, he's a chiropractor. And a lot of chiropractors are anti-vax apparently. So there's that thing. And then another thing is,
doesn't help their whole not real doctors issue.
Well, exactly, bitch. But
just kidding, chiros. I love you.
We love, listen,
snap,
I love
please,
chiros.
Crack my neck anytime.
Anytime, honey.
Snip, snap.
I was just thinking of like how lucrative a agency would be that just makes iOS press release statements and the Notes app press release like about racist things for Instagram.
That would be so. Like, that's
I would love to
that's
do
a white
that.
Space.
That's a white space.
Yeah. That is definitely that no is definitely pun white space. Yeah. and I mean, I guess this made me think. Like, I mean, Mary is not coming back. Like, they're gonna.
No, she's not.
She's not going to the reunion, and then Jenny will probably be at the reunion.
I
but,
did not
yeah.
realize. Wait, so Mary's not going to the reunion?
No, nope. Mary didn't go
I didn't
to the reunion.
Know that.
It already filmed like last week,
right?
Which
oh,
sucks,
I did. I'm
like,
not up. That sucks.
It sucks because
no.
it, well, because Mary, The theory is that Mary has a lot of shit that she needs to answer for. And she didn't want to go. And then she didn't show up to the reunion, and she posted like reality TV is toxic. Like she posted like studies show that reality TV it damages your brain. Like she posted screenshots of that. So she's not coming. But and then I'm like, fuck, like I wish they were filmed the review reunion this weekend so that Andy can like grill her about this.
I know, because that's the thing, is like it's not gonna, the reunion isn't gonna address this if it was filmed last weekend, which sucks. It's so interesting because Mary is definitely like one of the quote unquote best characters on the show, but it's also because she's nuts. Maybe.
I think that Jenny is also like, and I don't say this to like stigmatize, I think Jenny is a person who's more in touch with reality than Mary, and who I might expect a little bit more from. Like, I think Jenny is obviously like a very intelligent and with it emotionally intelligent person who's like a good friend and cares for people around her. And so the fact that she was so dehumanizing to this population is crazy. And it's one of those things where it's alarming when you witness somebody and you watch them and you like them and you relate to them, and you would never expect that these are views that they hold. And so it just makes you think, like, who else out there have I never actually asked these questions of?
Yeah.
That might be holding that. It's disturbing.
I mean, I think what you hit the nail on the head, Amanda, and I think that is what so many people have been struggling with in this pandemic with the Trump presidency, is that there are so many people in our lives that we care about and that we love that think vaccines are fake, or, you know, and like that is just something that it would be cool to have some piece of media that really like talks about, you know, that struggle that so many people have, because I know I've encountered that in my family with, like, you know, I love this person, whatever. You think vaccines are fake? What's wrong with you?
I know.
Yeah. It is very strange.
And I do feel like sometimes the conversation is so like, and I feel it too, it's just like, fuck all the anti-vax people, fuck all these people, and I feel that as well. But I think we all also know on a real level that it's like, it sucks sometimes to find out that someone you care about feels these things or thinks these things. And it's hard to like throw a person you care about out, or you feel like you're like, I actually can't throw this person away. And so how do I reconcile that? And it's like, it's been a really, like you said, Millie, it's been a tough part of like just from Trump on trying to figure out like what to do with people whose views are so outside what
we
is
we should
like,
talk about next. Did you guys see what like Patton Oswalt said in reaction to him, like
the Dave Chappelle
show with Dave Chappelle? He said kind of exactly what you did. He sort of like, I don't know if he apologized, but he just sort of like explored out loud, like, I don't know, like, I know this is bad, but I'm a, like, being a really good friend is important to me. And he just sort of had like a graceful answer, not super satisfying answer, but I think that's, like you said, it's like, we can't just throw all these people away, because it's easy for us to say on a pop culture podcast, Jenny needs to be fired. But, you know, what about her friends and family and community? They can't, you know, they don't want to fire her from their lives. And these are things that are coming up all the time.
I mean, literally, this is the conversation me and Elise had literally yesterday about Cheer, because a lot of people have been giving like Jerry's friends a hard time because they've kept in contact with him, or they're confused about it, or it's like they're not, it's not even that they kept in contact, is that some of them are like, you know, confused and struggling with it.
I think Gabby Butler in particular, like during her interview in that episode, which seemed like it was happening pretty freshly after what happened, she's like crying about it, and she's like, I don't know if I can turn my back on him, and people came really hard for her on Twitter for that. And I'm like, cutting someone out of your life, even though they've done something bad, and like reconciling what you just found out about them with what you've known about them, like that is actually something that is a process, and it takes a little bit of time. And you don't see her out here being like, no, he's great, he's a good person. She just expressed that like it's really hard to cut someone out of your life, even when they've done wrong, and especially when what they did means that you have to completely rewrite what you thought about them.
And what they mean to you. And then you have to sort of mourn that. I mean, luckily with Jenny, we just have to cut her out of our Sunday nights.
Yeah, and she definitely should be fired.
I'm going to finish Cheer this weekend, and we'll talk about that next Thursday.
It's so good.
All I want to do is hang out with these kids in their Texas dorm. It's all I want to do this weekend.
Well, Up until the last minute, I'm only on episode two, though.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay. Well, up until the last minute, it's a fucking ride. I'll tell you that.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited. That is our show today. We will be back next week until the end of democracy. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm the real Millie Tamaris.
Real ones only and on the Betches Sup podcast. Bye.
Bye.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.